Today we celebrate the wonderful feast day. February 22nd is the feast day called the Chair of St. Peter. You might think, well, that's sort of a strange title, having a feast in honor of a chair. Obviously, it's not a physical chair. The Chair of St. Peter represents his teaching authority. And we know the word cathedral comes from the word cathedra, which means a chair. Oftentimes you've heard about when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, he's speaking from the chair, namely his seat of authority. So the chair is actually a symbol of Peter's authority that Christ himself gave him, as we have in today's gospel. We have Jesus taking his disciples up to a region called Caesarea Philippi. This is maybe 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, up into pagan territory. And one interesting thing about Caesarea Philippi, actually, they don't take you there really on the tours of the Holy Land because it's too dangerous up in that area. But I know many people that have been there, and you can read about it. There are these huge rock formations, huge cliff formations, and upon these rocks were pagan temples were built to the god Pan and many other pagan gods. And so it's not an accident, the Lord never does anything by accident, that he takes his disciples up to this region of Caesarea Philippi, most likely right at the base of this huge rock formation. Now, our Lord was sort of setting the stage for choosing Peter as his rock upon which he would build his church. This is sort of the backdrop of where he chose Peter to do this. Our Lord then asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? See, this is the first Gallup poll. Did you know that? Our Lord takes the first Gallup poll. Now, what are the crowds saying? What's the crowd saying? Who do they say that I am? And, of course, 33 and a third thought he was John the Baptist. Another 33 and a third thought he was Elijah. Another 33 and a third thought he was Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Notice how the crowd was incorrect. The crowd was wrong, as the crowd and the populace often is. They're often misled by whatever. But he said, who do you say that I am? So he turns to his disciples, and there's a silence, a dead silence. And yet one voice rang out, and that voice was inspired by the Heavenly Father. It was not something that Peter thought up of himself. It didn't come from flesh and blood, according to Christ. Jesus said, my Heavenly Father has revealed this to you. So Peter, his one clear voice rings out, you are the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah. Then he says, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. He uses his father's name, his full name, Simon, son of Jonah, to show the solemnity of this event. And he says, you are blessed, Simon, because you did not think of this on your own. It was God himself who revealed this insight to you. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that revealed this to you. Then what does Jesus say? And so I say to you, you are Peter. So he changes Simon's name from Simon to Peter. The word Simon in Hebrew means a reed or a weed that can sway in the wind. And this reed will now become a rock. And he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Again, think of the backdrop of the huge rock formations with the pagan temples built on there. And now Jesus is saying, well, the pagan temple is built upon this rock, but I, Christ, am now going to establish my church. And you will be the rock upon which I will establish my church. Now, Jesus, of course, spoke in Aramaic. So he said, you are Kepha, and upon Kepha I will build my church. And that's important for us to realize. If you go back to the original language, there's no question that he's saying, you are Kepha, and upon this Kepha I will build my church. And what does he say about the church? He says, the gates of the netherworld, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. This, of course, is referring to the power of the Holy Spirit will always watch over and protect the church from falling into doctrinal error on issues of faith and morals. Sure, there'll be sinful people, there'll be scandals, there'll be terrible things that occur among the members of the church. But the pristine doctrine, the pure doctrines of the church will never be tainted by the world. Issues of faith and morals, the church will have the special protection and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what we call papal infallibility. It means that it's a special preservation, a special protection, that even if the Pope tried to teach error on issues of faith and morals, as speaking as Pope ex cathedra from his seat of authority, that the Holy Spirit would not allow that. So the church will never be under the gates of the netherworld. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church on these issues of faith and morals. And then he says, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The you is singular. I will give to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's a powerful thought. If you give somebody your car keys, you're giving them authority to drive your car. If you give them your house keys, you give them authority to come into your house. So keys are very special. Now, if you give somebody your keys, you're entrusting them with authority to come and go as they please. And so he got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that's where we get this feast day, the chair of St. Peter. This authority was given from Christ, who is, of course, Christ obviously is the rock himself. Christ is the rock, but he grafts St. Peter into himself. And he leaves Peter as the chief shepherd of the flock to watch over the flock of the church that Jesus has established. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's an awesome thought when we think of the teachings of the church. And Jesus would go on to say, I have prayed for you, Peter, that after you have fallen, you will come back and strengthen your brothers. So when we're united to the Pope, when we follow the teachings of the church, the teachings of the Pope, we are incorporated into the prayer that Jesus prayed for Peter himself. Peter, of course, is the source of unity. He's the first Pope. He is the one who Christ chose upon which to build his church. So St. Peter and the Pope today is the source of unity. We're called, obviously, as Catholics, when we belong to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that as we're loyal to the teachings of the Pope, we obviously are loyal to the teachings of Christ himself, because Christ founded his church upon St. Peter the Apostle.